namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We're going to read the text purport, the verse in the purport, and then we basically have a little bit of a history lesson, because today is the disappearance day and the appearance day of a number of Vaishnava acharyas, and we're going to explore their personalities with your permission. It's always good to know the person behind the work, and there's so many books that have been made throughout our Gaudiya Vaishnava history. So with your permission, I'm going to review some of the lives of these great Vaishnava acharyas that we observe their disappearance. Thank you. An appearance today. So we're on text 21, is that correct? Or 21, right? Sadvijaschitite kaman Harir Dina Nukampanaha Amoga Bhagavad Bhaktir Netareti Matir Mama Sadvidasyati Te Kaman Harir Dina Nukampanaha Amoga Bhagavad Bhaktir Netarati Matir Mama Sadvidasyati Te Kaman Karir Dinanukambadaha Amoga Bhagavad Bhaktir Netarati Matir Mama. Mataji's. Sa. He, Vasudev. Vidasyati will undoubtedly fulfill te, your kaman, desires, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dina, unto the poor, Anukampanaha, very merciful, Amoga, infallible, Bhagavat Bhakti, devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Na, not, Itara, anything but Bhagavat Bhakti, Iti, thus, Mati, opinion, Mama, my. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very merciful to the poor, will fulfill all of your desires, for devotional service unto Him is infallible. Any method other than devotional service is useless. That is my opinion. Purport. There are three kinds of men who are called Akama, Moksha, Kama, and Sarvakama. One who tries to get liberation from this material world is called Moksha Kama. One who wants to enjoy this material world to its fullest extent is called Sarva Kama. And one who has fulfilled all of his desires and has no further material desires is called Akama. A bhakta has no desire. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. He is purified and free from material desires. The moksha kami wants to achieve liberation by merging into the existence of the Supreme Brahman. And because of this desire to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is not yet pure. And since those who want liberation are impure, what to speak of the karmis who have so many desires to fulfill? Nonetheless, the Shastra says, Akama sarva kamava moksha kama udaradi tarena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Bhagavad Gita 2:3:10. Kashyapa Muni saw that his wife Aditi had some material desires for the welfare of her sons, but still he advised her to render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, everyone, regardless of whether he is karmi, jnani, yogi, or bhakta, should invariably take shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudev and render transcendental loving service unto him, so that all his desires will be duly fulfilled. Krishna is Dina Anukampana. Dina Anukampana. He's very merciful to everyone. Therefore, if one wants to fulfill his material desires, Krishna helps him. Of course, sometimes if a devotee is very sincere, the Lord, as a special favor to him, refuses to fulfill his material desires and directly blesses him with pure, unalloyed devotional service. It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjha 22:38-39, Krishna kahe, amay bhaje marge vishayak sukha, amrita chadi vishamage, e bada murka. Ami, vigya e murke vishayakene diba, svachanamrita diya, Visaya Bulaiba. Krishna says, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, but at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. If a devotee maintains some material desire and at the same time very sincerely desires to engage at the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna may directly give him unalloyed devotional service and take away all his material desires and possessions. This is the Lord's special favor for devotees. Otherwise, if one takes to Krishna's devotional service but still has material desires to fulfill, he may become free from all material desires as Dhruva Maharaj did. But this may take some time. However, if a very sincere devotee wants only Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna directly gives him the position of Sudha Bhakti. Sudha Bhakti, unalloyed devotional service. Wow. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very merciful to the poor, will fulfill all your desires, for devotional service unto him is infallible. Any method other than devotional service is useless. That is my opinion. That was Vasudeva's opinion. Pretty important opinion. Oma gyanatamarandasya ganagana shalakaya chakshur un militam jainatasmai shri gurave namaha. I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who has opened my eyes blinded by the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of this knowledge. This verse is like the essence of our understanding of taking to the path of Krishna consciousness. This verse that we, and this purport. So many devotees, non-devotees ask, why do bad things happen to good people? You've heard this, you know? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, you know, we answer, you know, because of karma, just reaping what you're sown. That's all. Nothing complicated. You deserve what you get. Well, this is our, you know, our answer. But on another level, Krishna is directing the wandering of all the living entities. Isn't it? Everybody, non-devotee and devotee, Krishna is in control. So actually he's arranging everyone's existence in such a way that gradually they will surrender unto him. So underneath this karma is a superior understanding, and that is that Krishna is arranging these bad things to happen, or material desires to be unfulfilled. Krishna gets all the credit, and if we're very intelligent, none of the blame, because his goal is to take us home back to Godhead, become free from all misery. That's his goal for us. Our goal is to be materially happy. That's what everyone strives for. Happiness. Every self-improvement course. Last night I was giving class to the self-excellence, course in self-excellence. So first thing I asked is, what does that mean to you, self-excellence? What does it, you know, mean? And of course, you know, the most basic understanding of excellence, self-excellence, is that, well, I'm improving myself. You know, I'm getting better. I'm becoming a better person. Or for an athlete, I'm getting more performance out of my bodily life. For a materialist, I'm getting better at my job. I'm becoming more excellent. But these all are misplaced ideas of the self. That's all related to the body. So when we deal with the idea of self-excellence, we're dealing with the idea of how we realize the excellence that we already are. The nature of the self, the Atma. Brighter than 1,000 suns. This is who we are. And that striving for self-realization, self-excellence, self-improvement, all these are meant to reveal who we already are. because it's just covered. And Krishna's job in our existence in the material world is to nudge us, push us, pinch us back home, back to Godhead. Lifetime after lifetime, this is going on. So, if anything bad happens to a devotee, the devotee's job is to see it, not from the point of material existence, but to see it actually as Krishna helping us to realize this is not our home. This is a place where there are miseries of birth and death, old age, disease, and to encourage us further in our pursuance of Krishna consciousness. And it's particularly difficult when you're practicing this path of the Bhakti Marg. It's particularly difficult when something terrible happens, something awful happens, because the first reflex is to blame Krishna. I've done so much for you. How could you do this to me? I've sacrificed. I've followed. I've given so much. And that's how we look at it. But Krishna's not looking at it like that. Krishna's looking at it as like we're sleeping in a dream. We're in a nightmare. And he's trying to wake us up from that nightmare. If you're sleeping and you have a nightmare and you're thrashing about, some nice person will come and they'll try to wake you up. And when you wake up, you'll thank them. Oh, thank you for waking me up. You splashed water on my face. You know, you took the covers off the bed. Whatever you did to wake me up, made loud noises. So that's Krishna's job. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Wake up, sleeping soul. You are lying, sleeping on the lap of the witch called Maya. And Krishna's job, as painful as we experience it, it's still in the dream. And it's not the reality. So this is the situation we're in. And we have to be to use that Buddhi yoga, that intelligence that we have been given in this life because we have this human form. We have to use that to understand that that's what Krishna is doing. When the going gets tough, it's Krishna's mercy on us. When the spiritual master, when he corrects us, sometimes he shouts at us, this is all mercy. So that's all I'm going to say about this because we have a little history to review today. I did my research. I want to share with you. Now, today is, of course, the first day of spring. Everyone knows the Vasanta Panchami, right? And this is the day that we celebrate the appearance of Sri Vishnupriya Devi, the wife of Lord Chaitanya. This is also the day, of course, this is also Sarasvati Puja. You might have heard the bands last night going around. They're preparing everyone for this day. The Vaishnavas generally don't observe this day, but you can't help but know it's happening because many people do. This is also the disappearance day of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who wrote so many of our wonderful Vaishnav literatures. I'll review that shortly. Great stories that he has. This is also the appearance day of Srila Pundarik Vijaniti, another personality from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also another personality from that great history is Srila Raghunandana Thakur. So would you like to learn a little bit about these great personalities? Oh, yes, that's right. That's it for today. So we have not very much time. I'm going to try and, first of all, I'll give a thumbnail of each of these personalities. So Vishnupriya was the wife of Lord Chaitanya, before, of course, he took sannyas. She was his second wife, because his first wife, if you remember, died from a snake bite. And every day after he left, you remember that famous scene from the movie, if you saw it, Neelachala Mahaprabhu. How many saw that movie, Neelachala Mahaprabhu? Only three people. My gosh, you have such a treat. You should ask your authorities to show you that we have two movies from ITV that we found that Prabhupada had watched and appreciated. They were made in 1958 and 1959. One is Nimai of Nadia, or Nader Nimai. That's the life of Lord Chaitanya up until the time he took sannyas. And then the second movie is Neelachala Mahaprabhu, which is from the time Lord Chaitanya took sannyas until his departure. And these movies are excellent movies. Beautiful music. Very devotional film. These are not Maya, I promise you. They're beautiful films. You should try to see them. And there's a beautiful scene of when Lord Chaitanya leaves Vishnupriya in the middle of the night. He leaves her. She's sleeping. Many people cry during that scene. Because he gave this up for our sake. We have to understand. Anyway, every day she would set aside one grain of rice for every round of the Hare Krishna mantra that she chanted. And at the end of the day, she would cook and offer those grains of rice to Lord Chaitanya. And that also would be her meal. She's a manifestation of the internal energy of the Lord. And if we consider Sachi Devi as being the perfect mother, then Vishnupriya was the perfect wife. When Chaitanya left to pursue the life of a sannyas, she made the same commitment and sacrifice as did Sachi Devi. She was only 16 years old. However, Lord Chaitanya left her a deity of himself, and she worshipped that deity every day. And she was glorified in the Vaishnav community in Navadvip as a model of a chaste wife, and it made her a leader in that Vaishnav community as the years went on. So if we have time, I will give more of her. The next famous personality is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti. He appeared in 1674 in the Nadia district of West Bengal. And during his time, he served as the protector, the guardian, and the acharya of this Gaudiya Vaishnav line. He wrote more than 40 Sanskrit books on the science of pure devotion, including commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, and commentaries on the books of the six Goswamis. We know him well because we sing those eight prayers to the spiritual master every day. Those are his composition. That's his composition. And I will tell you more about him when I return to his... I'm going to first give you the thumbnail of Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi. How many have heard of Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi? That means you've read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Which, by the way, only 40% of devotees have read. There was a poll taken 2 years ago. Only 40% of the devotees have actually indulged in that nectar. So he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and he was the guru of Gadadhar Pandit. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was sometimes misunderstood to be too much attached to material pleasures. And when I read about, I'm going to read you a little story about him, and you'll go, how is it possible such a elevated personality could live such a life of luxury? And it's a very good lesson for us, but he would, just by hearing one recitation of one verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, any verse, he would go into trance for hours. That's how elevated he was. He would be in ecstasy. In Krishna's pastimes, he is Vrishabhanu, the father of Srimati Radharani. And that is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. More on him later. But I just want everyone to get just a thumbnail, because it's really hard. If I read everything, it's hard to remember it all. But if you get a little thumbnail, you can it kind of sticks in there. At least for me. Okay, then we have today the appearance day of Srila Raghunandana Thakur. Few people know who he is? A few people. I would have my hand down most of the time. So Raghunanda was the son of Mukunda Das. And when Mukunda was called away on some medical business, he asked his son, Raghunanda, to offer the Rajboga to the family deity of Gopinath. And so this very dutiful son, he prepared everything, did it all properly, and he rang the bell, and he called out to the deity, "Eat, eat." And when he saw, it was a young boy. So, you know, when you offer the prasad, at the end of the offering, the prasad is still in the dish. So the boy couldn't understand. "My father told me the deity was supposed to eat, and he's calling out, 'Eat, eat,' and there's still there." And he became very upset. So he also was worried that Mukunda, his father, would be angry if the deity didn't eat anything. So Gopinath, the deity, saw this boy's angst, his anxiety, so he decided he ate everything. So when Mukunda returned home, he looked at the plates and thought that his son had not offered anything to the deity because there was nothing in the plates. And he had to watch from a hidden place when Raghunandan offered a laddu to the Gopinath deity. And the deity took half of that laddu. Not the whole laddu. This laddu is still there. You can go see that laddu. And then at that time, Mukunda understood that the deity had only taken half a laddu because he was still full from the lunch offering. So in that way, he realized that his son was a very advanced devotee, and he embraced him. And later in Jagannath Puri, Gauranga, when he saw Mukunda, he said, "Who is the father and who is the son?" This is a famous line from Lord Chaitanya. Okay, so then we have also today Raghunath Das Goswami's appearance day. Of course, he's one of the six Goswamis. And he was ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan, chant Hare Krishna, read Srimad Bhagavatam, and every day he would sing these verses of the Bhagavatam to the local Brijvasis. And when he sang, it was said that these tears of ecstasy would actually wet the pages of the Bhagavatam. And as he sang, one of his great characteristics, which I wish I had, is that he would never criticize anyone. And therefore he was a very inspiring, because he believed that all the Vaishnavas were serving Krishna according to their realization. And therefore one should overlook their faults. So this is a very nice example that would be good if any one of us could follow. not see anyone's faults. Under his inspiration, a wealthy disciple built the temple for the Radha Govinda deities in Vrindavan. Now I want to go back, first of all, to the story, a little more of not Raghunath. Vishwanath Chakravarti. He appeared in the... This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Appearing, taking birth in 1654, he appeared in the Radia line of Brahmins. He had two brothers, Sri Rambhadra Chakravarti and Sri Raghunath Chakravarti. He went on to live in West Bengal. And he was composing this commentary on the Alankar Kushtuba. And when Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur lived in Nadia, he closely studied those scriptures, beginning with the study of Sanskrit, grammar, poetry, and rhetoric. It's said that even as a boy in the school, he was an undefeatable scholar who could overcome anyone in argument and debate. Now, from an early age, he was quite indifferent towards family life. We've had two classes on family attachments lately. Not classes here, but with the some of the engineers and other people who've come. It's a big, you know, it's a big deal in India, these family attachments. But for the purpose of binding his son into the contract of family life, Vishwanath's father arranged for his marriage when he was very young. But he remained married for only a short time. He soon renounced his wife and he went to live in Vrindavan. Even though his parents and his relatives made many unsuccessful attempts to induce him to return to family life, he was fixed and he renounced this worldly life and surrendered himself completely to the service of Krishna. There in Vrindavan, he took up his residence in the Bhajan Kutir of Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami on the banks of Radhakund. And there was a devotee there, disciple of Krishna Das Kaviraj, whose name was Mukundadas. And there, Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti made a careful study of the Goswami's literatures. And he later, in that place, wrote many commentaries on the books of the Goswamis. He established the worship of the deity of Sri Gokulananda. He was also sometimes known as Hari Vallabha. And Vishwanath's title, Chakravarti, was awarded to him by the devotees. And generally, this title designates one who maintains a circle of influence. So it kind of means emperor, for the emperor maintains his power over a vast circle. But a more devotional explanation of this title is found in the introduction to Vishwanath's Sapna Visamrita, Vilasamrita. There has been written, Vishvasya Natarup Poso Bhakti Rata Bhatrasat Bhakta Chakre Vartadva Chakravartama Bhavat. He who reveals the jewel of devotion to Vishwanath, the Lord of the universe, and thus expands the circle of bhakti, is a Chakravarti. He wrote many books, commentaries in the Bhagavatam. He wrote the Alankara Kashtuba, the Ujvala Nilamani, the Ananda Vrindavan Chapu. I can go on with a long list, but you'll never remember all these names. But the main point is that he is in the Diksha Guru Parampara of Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti, it's given like this: Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lokanath Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, Gangaram Chakravarti, Krishna Charan Chakravarti, Radhamaran Chakravarti, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sri Krishna Charan Chakravarti, and Radharaman Chakravarti. They all are in this line that he is in. And the Shiksha Guru Parampara is actually, in his understanding, considered much more important than the Diksha Guru Parampara. It follows the descent of revealed truth through its most significant representatives, as opposed to following a more sacerdotal hierarchy. That means that what Prabhupada said to us, that he said that the Diksha Guru and the Shiksha Guru are non-different. And this is also confirmed in the life of Sri Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, that he followed that shiksha line. So sometimes we forget this, especially in our ISKCON hierarchy. But actually, one can find that Shiksha Guru is even much more important in one's life than one's Diksha Guru. So anyway, there's a lot more information about him. Too much to go into. I wanted to read a little pastime of Pundarika. When he first arrived, this is Pundarika Vidyaniti. When he first arrived in Navadvip, he disguised himself as a worldly sense enjoyer. Besides Mukunda, nobody knew that Pundarika Vidyaniti was a pure Vaishnava. As Mukunda introduced him, he took Gadadhar Pandit to meet this Pundarika. And they found Pundarika reclining, and this is an amazing description, on an opulent brass bed covered with red satin sheets, silk pillows, and topped with a three-tiered canopy, a gem-studded pan box stuffed with fragrant spices and betel nuts waited within arm's reach. Two shiny brass spittoons stood as silent sentries beside the bed, and seeing the mirror stained red from his chewing pan, Pundarik laughed heartily. Two servants cooled him with peacock fans. I would say that's a pretty good disguise. If you don't want to be known as a devotee of Krishna, that's a pretty good way to disguise yourself. Was this a Vaishnav or a prince wallowing in luxury, wondered Gadadhar Pandit. Doubts arose in his mind about Pundarik's spiritual status. And reading his mind, Mukunda decided to reveal the highly exalted transcendental identity of Pundarik Vidyaniti. Mukunda recited a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.6.35. Always hankering to taste the blood of small children, Putana came to kill baby Krishna because she offered her breasts to the Supreme Lord. Putana attained the greatest blessing of being accepted as a mother of Sri Krishna. With that verse, Pundarik went into trance for hours. And thus, we could see that Pundarik was actually a great Vaishnava devotee in disguise. Who can understand these things? We can only accept these amazing pastimes. But if we study through the eyes of the Acharyas, then we can learn. And there's a very great tradition in the Jewish tradition that throughout the world, at any one time, there's 11 men, and each of those 11 men is a truth seeker. They are seeking the truth, and they are true themselves. But you'll never know who they are, because they could be a street sweeper, they could be a prince, they could be anybody. So therefore, it's enjoined in that tradition that you have to pay respect to everybody, because one of those people could be that great saintly person. So this is a lesson to be learned from understanding the nature of Pundarik. Sometimes, you know, very many wealthy people come to this temple. Super wealthy. Uber wealthy. We know who they are, but we don't want to give their names. We don't know. We sometimes think, oh, they live in such luxury, or they're not giving, or they are giving. Sometimes they don't give for decades. They're billionaires. And then they give 50 crore. It's happened. It's happened. Sometimes they don't hardly give anything. And then boom, 50 crore. We don't know who these people really are. So that's why our teaching is that we have to, and this is such a good example, that we have to look at everybody as spirit, soul, you know, a Brahmin, a dog eater, an elephant, a cow. This is our vision, and treat everybody as if they are just very nicely developing their Krishna consciousness, and we want to be of servant to them. So, I'll relate to you another story now about Raghunandana. The great devotee Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur and Sri Raghunandan Thakur once danced together in Krishna Prema in the house of a devotee in Boro Dangita. Sri Raghunandana Thakur's Nupura, or ankle bracelet, opened while he was dancing and fell into the pond in Akai Hata. From that time on, the pond has been known as Nupura Kund. It's said that at present in the town of Akai Hata, south of Borogram, that Nupura may be seen in a temple maintained by the local devotees. According to the certain authorities, Sri Raghunandan Thakur was Kandarpa Manjari, and according to others, he was one of Krishna's sons in Dwarka, whose name was Kandarpa. This is on the basis of Kavi Kanapura's Gora Godesha Deep. Raghunandan Thakur had a son named Kanai Thakur, and the descendants of Raghunandan Thakur's line live today in Sri Kanda. One of the most famous of them is the person by the name of Panchanana Kaviraj, who was born in the line of Sri Raghunandana. Raghunandan Thakur was born in the Saka year 1432. Quoting from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, our Bhaktivedanta Swami writes, Sri Mukunda Das was the son of Narayana Das and the eldest brother of Narahari Sakara. His second brother's name was Madhava Das, and his son was named Raghunandan Das. This is the son whose appearance day we celebrate today. Descendants of Raghunandan Das still live 4 miles west of Katwa in the village of Sri Kanda, where Raghunandan Das used to live. Raghunandan had one son named Kanai, who had 2 sons, Madan Rai, who was a disciple of Narahari Sakara Thakur, and Vamshidana. It is estimated that at least 400 men descended in this dynasty. All their names are recorded in the village known as Sri Kanda. And in the Gora, Gandodesha Deepika, it's stated that the gopi, whose name was Brinda Devi, became Mukunda Das, and he lived in Sri Kanda village and was very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His wonderful love and devotion for Krishna are described in the Madhya Leela 15th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it is stated in the Bhakti Ranakara chapter 8 that Raghunandan used to serve a deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, these are some of the details of these amazing personalities, and we celebrate their appearance and disappearance today. If I can encourage you to just reread for yourself these histories, they're available to you. I'm sure you can find them just by Googling their names. And it's just enlivening to know that there's so many variegated pastimes, because we have so many different types of personalities in our devotional community. And sometimes, frankly, it's pretty hard to comprehend all these different personalities and you know, why they act the way they do sometimes. But if we see the history, if we through the history of all the different types of persons who've practiced Krishna consciousness, have been great devotees, some of them even have descended from the spiritual world and are performing pastimes here, it makes it much easier for ourselves to be free from criticism. And, you know, the word aparad, when we make offense, it's actually to be it's understood in different ways. But radhe, that aparad, that radhe of aparad, is actually means the function of doing devotion, the devotional service that one can perform. So when one has an aparadhi, one is kind of it's inhibiting devotion. that's really more what the word means, because the English we say offense, but offense is not a good translation. So what we always want to do is encourage devotion. So if we do anything that discourages devotion, that's an aparad. That's what it really means. So when we look at everybody and their differences in the way in which they practice devotion, their ability of their brain to actually express their devotion, we have to be very careful. And by understanding these pastimes of these great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, the wife of Lord Chaitanya, and so on and so forth, it gives us strength in being able to be free from thinking negatively about anybody's devotional service. So with that, I'll ask if there's any questions or comments from the distinguished guests who've been kind enough to sit there through my entire lecture. I know it's very difficult, but I want to thank all of them for their patience and their tolerance of my being here, and all of you.
Hare Bol, Prabhu. We are talking about the offenses, aparat. My question is, it's very difficult when it's management. You have to see some faults or something, somebody doing something wrong. That would be in the category of aparat, or how we go about it.
You see, that's the beauty of understanding aparat as inhibiting or somehow limiting somebody's devotional service. Because when we do constructive criticism in management, that's as long as it is helping somebody else to increase their devotional service, then how can it be offensive? It's actually helping them increase their service to Krishna. And that should be our measure. Are we doing it in such a way that it's not making them feel less able to perform that service? So that's good management, is able to encourage people in a way that increases their service and doesn't make them feel any less than what they're doing. That's the real meaning of constructive criticism. Yeah, you have, of course. If someone's adding two and two and they make it five, no, it's not five, it's four. And that, you know, but it's nothing to do with their who they're being, their soul, their actual person. Now, someone may take offense because of some conditioning they have. But from our heart, if we're not offering it in that way, we have no control how they accept it. Maybe that they point the finger, oh, you're discouraging me. Oh, Prabhu, please, how can I encourage you better?
Hare Krishna. So as you said, that we should be very careful. But we are hearing something and we are speaking something, and whatever the Acharya has given, so sometimes we put our own things and do other things. So they're very careful when you say where we are very careful. We cannot understand. Whatever we do, sometimes we do so many things whimsically. What our Acharya has not given, we are doing those things. But when Prabhupada said, whatever I have given you, just do that one. Do not add anything. But still we are doing our own things. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Grantara Shrima Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaura Premanandi.